Okay, we're going to take open lines for the entire hour, so get ready to take your shot. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. As Richard C. Hoagland says, the eyes have it. And I'm telling you, that photograph of that android or whatever it is, you can see the iris in the eye socket. And I'm telling you, I've not seen a rock that looks like that. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Joseph from Grand Rapids.
Joseph, good to have you. Yeah. Or Cardinals, depends on where I am at any particular time.
There you go. I have two comments. First of all, about the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff. If anybody out there has any questions pertaining to that, read Dr. Sitchin's works. They are phenomenal. They fill in all the gaps. Also, this skull or face, whatever it is, on the moon, there's a couple of depictions in a couple of Dr. Sitchin's books that look very similar to this. I don't know if you have the books at all.
I've got some of them.
Okay. Well, for example, in
which one?
Well, 12th Planet and the Cosmic Code.
Okay.
12th Planet, there's on page 135, there's actually several depictions of these helmeted beings, Anunnaki, what have you. And they look very similar with, like, these, you know, large eyes, perfectly round-style human face. Looks very similar to what is on the moon and then also in the Cosmic Code. Dr. Sitchin says that... the Anunnaki used the moon as a stepping stone to Mars, then Mars as a stepping stone to Nibiru. And Enki, Lord of Earth, is what it means, used these robots that looked similar to humans to guard what he called the landing places. And if they used the moon as a stepping stone and there's any ruins on Mars, which I believe there is, and also on the moon, that there, you know, he would have some kind of guardian. And I just believe that, you know, that's another possibility about what that could be.
Well, you know what? Sitchin's work is phenomenal. I love it. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's well worth everybody taking an extra read, specifically at his theories in his book called The 12th Planet. Just take a look at that. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, this is Jason calling out of Plano, Texas.
Yeah, Jason.
And hi. Really enjoyed West. He was pretty accurate. He seemed to have definitely done his homework. He reminded me of someone who I heard on maybe a year and a half ago named Louis Torrey or Turi.
Oh, Dr. Turi, who comes on quite often on the program. Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering when you have any clue when he might be back on. Because
Jason, he will be on as quickly as you can flip a quarter in the air. I mean, he's scheduled within weeks.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. There's I won't mention her name. I don't know if it's appropriate to do so. There's a lady here in the Metroplex, and I had a Vedic astrology chart done about a year ago, and it was an eight month sort of thing, and she was to the hour on. So there's something to celestial happenings and houses and planets and so on and so forth that I haven't really read in depth about, but from what I understood from the reading, I've listened to the tape four or five times, and it's just incredible.
I tell you what you can do is have her send us an email about who she is, or even you can do that, and we'll track her down and see what's up. I know Joseph Jacobs, our psychic extraordinaire, will be on a full program in the not-too-distant future as well. First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Noy. I'd like to ask you about the coast-to-coast heavy metal conspiracy.
The heavy metal conspiracy?
Yes, I've emailed your musical director about playing some more songs that pertain to your topics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Iron Maiden has a song called Deja Vu, and it would have been totally cool to play the other night, but it's like you never play that stuff. And the other thing is you don't play Tesla the band.
Have we ever played any Tesla at all, Steve? Tell me in my ear. No, you're right. We haven't. Why not, Steve? Steve's talking in my ear here while I'm down in the cave. He says it's just too hard.
Now, Tesla's not real metal. They wrote a song about Nikola Tesla called Edison's Medicine. And they wrote about 9/11 on the last album, and it's totally, totally cool. They're the most bluegrass metal band ever.
All right, well, I'll have Stephen and Dan take a listen to that, because I put in some of my own music, if I don't have the feel for it, and I don't for these, I let them make up their own minds on that stuff.
Uh-huh, but it's like Yngwie Malmsteen did a song called Deja Vu also, and the Iron Maiden song Deja Vu is not heavy.
Now, let's turn this into a positive. Do they play bumper music you do like?
Well, the Rainbow song Since You've Been Gone is cool, but it's like they could also, there's Rainbow songs like about the same kind of thing. I mean, to be truthful, you guys play like the same 20 songs constantly, and it's like, okay, how many times can I hear Fleetwood Mac and ABBA? And even those bands, I mean, ABBA plays a lot of cool songs.
We have never played ABBA during the week on my show.
I apologize, but I mean, seriously, there's so many other songs. It's like you guys.
I think we've got a list probably of close to 100 songs, believe it or not, and we put new ones in all the time. We actually can pick from close to 800, but we don't do that. But they're out there for us. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
My name is Rob. I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Sure, Rob. Thank you.
And I just wanted to speak. You were talking earlier about with the Mr. Rogers guy. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but...
Mr. Rogers guy.
Well, that's what struck me, and then you mentioned it. So.
Yeah, he sounded just like Mr. Rogers. He had that low-key, you know, anyway. Come into my house, would you like to be my neighbor? That kind of thing.
Right, right. But you were discussing the possibility that extraterrestrials had come and interbred with human beings. And I was wondering if you'd ever heard of the Urantia book.
Oh, yes, I've read it. Not entirely. It's a huge book. I did 1 hour on the book of Urantia, and I should do some more because it is a pretty fascinating book.
Well, there is a paper that discusses exactly that, and according to the book, it was 500,000 years ago. That the planetary prince is what they call it. They came to this planet, and his staff was a mixture of people not from this planet, but the DNA of people from this planet was combined with theirs, and they had dual circulatory systems, which allowed them to live longer than a normal lifespan.
And if I recall, the Book of Urantia was written by some people in Chicago, told to them by these extraterrestrial beings. Am I
exactly
correct there? Yeah.
That is correct. In 1934, it was channeled through a human subject.
Yes. Definitely worth another program. Fascinating reading.
Right, and that's basically what I wanted to see, if you were familiar with that. And if you're not, and they have a great website, too, by the way. You can just plug in a word, and it'll take you to the place in the book that's from.
Fair enough. Might be time for maybe even a full show on that. I'd like to do a full show on Hopi prophecy, the Book of Urantia, a whole bunch of other things. And you know, we're starting to bring you some brand new Coast to Coast guests as well. We did a lot of that last week, and hope you enjoy that too. I just want more people into the mix. And by the way, the summer ratings, which is generally pretty low for talk stations around the country, you know, so they pick up in the fall and the winter. Coast to Coast was absolutely huge this year, and I wanted to thank you for making that happen for all of us. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
I'm sure I'm the reason that your ratings were up.
You may be. We'll take all we can get.
This is Steve calling for Sacramento, KSTE 650. By the way, you can tell, ask JC if he can explain the rapture in the Bible.
All right.
Because it's not even mentioned. There is no rapture in the Bible. You can go through the Bible front to back. It is not there. But I called because everyone speaks of the extraterrestrials helping the Egyptians build the pyramids, but I'm kind of wondering why they left them with such primitive tools to build it and why their architecture is so remedial. the architecture is just it doesn't ring of anything forward at all. There's nothing gleaming about it. It's all very remedial in that they had to use a different type of columns and so on. They weren't adept at building buildings that had structures that could actually support a roof. They had to build columns for their roofs for the space. What I'm trying to say.
Well, it was almost as if they took all the equipment back with them, isn't it?
Well, if you look at the structure and so on that they used, where they took the tools back with them, the tool marks that are there reflect the tools that were used.
Yes.
They found that are still here.
What do you think happened? I mean, really, how do you think they moved those huge blocks? And, you know, you can barely put a razor blade between some of those seams.
I really think they actually did it by hand. I think they actually were able to do it themselves manually. I really believe they did it with their own hands, and then they manually did it. I do wonder how they put them in place. I'm not sure if they used sand to drag them into place, or if they were able to use water.
What if they poured it? What if they just poured the blocks in the positions that they were in?
Well, they were granite. Now Tutankhamun's father made smaller blocks. He actually
But they were also limestone, weren't they?
For the pyramids?
Yeah, I thought limestone was all over the place there.
They put limestone. I think they coated them with a limestone coating, but I think the grit they're actually a solid blocks.
So some of you're saying the blocks aren't limestone? Okay, I always thought
maybe,
a lot
maybe
of the
I'm
block
wrong about
was.
That. Don't please, I could be wrong about that.
All right, we'll both check
solid.
That. All right, we'll check. I know that Coral Castle in Florida was limestone, and I just assumed based on some of the things I heard that a lot of the blocks in the pyramids were made out of limestone. We'll have somebody fast blast that to me. We'll get an answer on that for you.
But they were solid. But now there was another entire city built by Tutankhamun's father, further down the Nile, and I think Memphis was the city that he built, an entire like 2 acres by 4 acres that he built. But his city was built with smaller blocks, almost like bricks, like we use now. That he actually formed the bricks that were like our construction bricks now. They were twenty four by eight by six size bricks that he used to make his structures.
You know, one of the greatest things I've heard was a contractor told me years ago, and I don't know if things have changed now, but he said at that time, he said, "We don't have machinery that can lift these blocks." That was pretty fascinating.
Well, they actually, now there was, I watched that digging for the past, they actually did manufacture a catapult type thing that with levers and pulleys, they actually did make a lever that would lift those blocks and so on. But they did make a ramp with sand and so on, that they could put their kiosks in place by just pulling them up this ramp and sliding them down into place and accurately putting them in position.
Okay, by the way, most people who have sent me a message, and they're normally pretty accurate, said most of the blocks are totally limestone in the pyramids, that there are a few granite blocks inside. So we've got that. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. And that's why I knew they were made out of limestone. They took them out of limestone quarries and, you know, much lighter than granite, obviously. Hey, thanks for the call. International Line, where are you calling from?
Well, in Ontario, Canada.
Hi. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I called you and told you about the pyramids on Earth and Mars meeting, and both planets stopped and caused a storm on Mars, and do you recall it?
Yes, I sure do. It was a good, great phone call.
Well, I'll tell you what, tonight's guest just about reinforced everything I said, and I just wanted to bring that point across. And also, I figured out how people in the Bible aged so fast or aged so much.
Or so slowly, you mean?
Or so slowly, yeah. Because when the water hit the earth, it caused Mariana's Trench. The earth was spinning at a faster rate, so the days were going by faster, the years were going by faster, so their year count was going by faster, but they were actually living the same number of years as us.
So if somebody was 700 years old, it was really the same as us, but they were going maybe 10 times faster.
Something like that.
Interesting.
Something like that. Well,
wouldn't they get tossed from the planet? It would spin so fast?
You would think so, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't think of that, I guess. But the pyramids, yes, the pyramids are primarily limestone.
Yes.
They were coated with a limestone and sand mixture to bring out a white color. So, yeah.
Okay, appreciate you being on the show. I bet if we were back during those days that the finished pyramids must have been gorgeous with the gold cap on the top. Must have been something else. First time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Rick from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey,
driving through Illinois right now.
Whereabouts?
Oh, coming into the Quad Cities area, actually.
Okay, well, stop off, make a little bet at Quad City Downs for me. What's going on?
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is my grandmother passed away about 10 years ago, and I've tried so long to get in. I can't believe I'm actually talking to you. But anyway, quickly, the night she passed away, I wasn't able to make it up to the hospital because of work, but I had to catch a nap before I went to work. And almost to the minute when she passed away, my mom told me when she passed away, clear as a bell, I heard her say, you know, goodbye, Ricky. That's what she always called me.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you've ever heard of that before.
We've had cases like that. And I believe this. I think these things really occurred.
Oh, I totally do. I mean, I was sleeping and my mom kept calling every 5 minutes, you know, grandma's not going to make it. Grandma's not going to make it. And, you know, I'm sorry, mom, I can't make it up there. And I mean, to the minute, it's unbelievable. Just clears the bell, her voice, you know, goodbye, Ricky.
Yeah. It's almost as if physical presence wasn't necessary. She was able to communicate with you. And she knew. And,
yeah.
And I believe that. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, take care of yourself. Drive carefully, by the way. I always am a little worried when I am talking to someone and then their phone line goes dead right at the end. Hey, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, the book signing that was going to occur next Tuesday in Skokie, Illinois, will not occur. We're canceling that. I think they want to have a bigger Barnes & Noble store somewhere closer to the heart of Chicago, and I guess they anticipate more people than they had thought. So we're going to delay that for just a bit. So those of you who are planning to get out there, I'm sorry I won't be there, but go ahead, buy the book, Worker in the Light anyway. I think you'll like it. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. It doesn't get any better than that. Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about dream interpretation and Edgar Cayce. So get ready for that one on Coast to Coast AM. But when we come back, more of your calls. Yeah, let's finish up this last half hour with a volley of your phone calls. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. You sound different on the phone than you do over the radio.
Well, I'm always on the radio unless I've talked to you on the phone.
There is a difference in sound. I didn't know if it was you there for a minute. Well, I'm in Missouri, somewhere out here tonight, not too far from you. And I want to give my opinion on some of this stuff. I got brave enough to call. And I've been listening about a year and a half, ever since I saw that on TV. I thought it was going to be a big deal about UFOs, you know. when they had Art and you guys. I'd never heard of you guys before. Uh-huh. So my aunt called me and said, quick, listen, that's the show I've been telling you about. So ever since then, I've been addicted. I've seen a psychiatrist about it right now.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're seeing a psychiatrist because you're listening to this program?
No, I just made a flip joke because yeah, I'm addicted to it now. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay.
I was being flip with you there for a minute. Ha ha. I'm trying to make people laugh here. All these shows about scare me to death, I will let you know that. Things I never knew of that we
which
just
ones
released.
Which ones scare you the most?
I tell you, the government, and I want to say
that's real.
Because we know they're listening. I'll be honest with you. I'm just a regular person out there that hears and listens, and 100 years in age, mind wise. Okay, Richard, I'd love to see the picture, but I don't have a computer right now. The picture. I've been hearing about this. Well, I probably would agree with you about the eyes. I do know that much. Okay. The government, whoever's covered up, if there's a cover-up, which we know there probably is, tell us because they didn't start this. It started years and years ago. Come clean with this. We'll vote for you. We'll like you. Be honest with this because I think it's going to get down to with this, the way people are wanting to push buttons and everything. So drama and scaring people to death, just normal people that aren't rich, just trying to, you know, get by here. And we feel like our votes don't mean anything, you know. We want someone honest that will tell us the truth. And, you know, that does scare you. It's the unknown because I've faced ghosts and bad entities and near shadow people, though. I refuse to see them. So,
boy, you've got a whole list of stuff.
Oh, I do. I've been listening. And also, whoever's done your soundtrack, I'm going to interpret this from my point of view. Instead of being negative, I'm being positive. When I first start listening, whatever the show was about, whoever's putting that music to them topics are doing a great job. I really compliment. And see, they got hooked on that and used to that. Now they always expect you to be an A and not a B. So men are a little bit more, the way they say it is different from what I would put it. More the positive than the negative.
Let me tell you,
so
these
I complimented Tommy.
Guys
he must be the one doing
great.
It, right?
No, Tommy's not picking the music. My board engineers are doing it. Tommy
so a bunch of people doing it.
Yeah.
One job.
We've got
see,
a whole set.
I know that's
it. Tommy suggests it, but he doesn't pick it. I mean, he doesn't go up there every day and say, hey, this
no.
is it. Tommy kills plants.
Yeah, it's a song usually I haven't heard in years. And you'll say, well, that's a cool song. I forgot all about that because I got cousins that are musicians, and I love music. I never listened to the AM before you guys, and you're the only thing I listen on AM. It's the only thing I listen to. I don't even have cable anymore. I still read the newspaper and stuff. And about invisibility, I'm going to put my comment on that one. I hate to tell you folks, but if you're going to be invisible, I would know it because same way you would know there's a ghost. And my dog would bark. My animals would let me know because that doesn't happen. I'd just take a can of spray paint and spray on them.
What kind of dog do you have?
Huh?
What kind of dog do you have?
Well, right now I have Jack Russell that, believe it or not, you're going to love this one. You don't believe in coincidence. My dad was an animal lover, but he didn't want to admit it, you know. We always had animals. I've had all kinds of animals, but always loved dogs. That's my
what do you mean he didn't want to admit it? He thought he was like
he
a tough guy?
And he excused my mom that she loved the cat more than him because, you know, she understood the cat. We had the cat for like 15 years. And, you know, they say cats don't have a good sense of direction. But they do, because this cat, I know this for a fact, was in our family, walked from Poplar Bluff to Cape Girardeau. It took it 3 months, and my dad kept telling my mom she was ridiculous, and my mom said, go to the old house because we had sold it. She's had my sister because my sister still lived in Cape. She'd go by there every week or so, and he was all scuffed up. His paws was all messed up, and my mom got him, and he lived in the next town with this, and mother would say, I know he's sick, and she could tell by looking in his eyes that he was. You know, that's just the way it was. Indian blood in us, I guess. That's why I interpreted it too. But I've had horses and everything. And horses and animals will let you know about earthquakes. Because I've been through some of that.
They sure will. You sound like you're a happy person. You're a happy person, aren't you?
Well, you know, I listen to your shows and I have to admit sometimes I shut it off if it's too negative. Well, they got to understand. They tell us all this stuff and we listen. Because, you know, my brain's like a sponge soaking this up. And I think everybody takes it and forms their own opinions. After all these people doing this research for all these topics, it's their opinion. I've never seen people argue so much. You can give them a Bible, give them a verse. I don't care what religion or what not religion, they will argue about that same verse. I've seen it personally done. In Girl Scouts, we went to different, you know, churches as a little thing, and I was joyed and I was scared of some of them. So, you know, it's just a matter of opinion, I guess, what your float your boat or whatever. But no, I like Richard, and
well, you can't shut it off, though, because Let me tell you why it's so important.
I did. You did what? About the water last night. I did, because I remember Edgar Casey, when I heard about him, I estimate that was my 20 years of reading, and I always went to the library and would check out at least 9 books, whatever. I couldn't believe that guy was for real, right? So I was going to prove him wrong. You know, that's how you go about it. You understand that being a reporter, weren't you?
I sure was.
Yeah. So you go, I'm from Missouri. You're kind of like that. You see it for yourself.
Yep.
And instead of proving him wrong, I was really fascinated by
it. It's a show me
state. I remember reading when he said about the water. See, I always had my own well water at the time. Now I don't. And I remember him saying this stuff, me reading it over 20 years ago, and him talking about, and I think what he talks about, mankind destroys herself.
All right. Well, you sit back, relax, and listen to the rest of the show, okay?
And you're a good person.
All right. You take care of yourself. All right. Let's move on now. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. Normally when I call you, Captain Nori for taking the helm for Admiral Bell. But I think you should be promoted to admiral.
I want the admiral status as well. I was in the Navy.
Okay, good deal. To business. The reason I called, I work for Ford Motor Company, and Friday my supervisor came to me and had me sign this paper signing up for a global identification card.
A global identification card for Ford Motor Company?
Yes, sir.
That's weird. You know, they just reported their biggest quarterly loss in 14 years today.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
That.
It's almost $6 billion.
Oh. Yeah, I tried.
But tell me about this card.
Well, it for some reason, it's going to be used for timekeeping and work order systems, whatever that means. I have no idea. But it's going to be with labor relations and specific job.
What does it say, or what will it say?
It has, of course, my name on there.
And you got the card already?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a specific number for my job. I guess it's going to be used in lieu of a Social Security number, which is what they use to identify us, you know, until this point.
And that's strange.
I tried to get into Alex today and let him know about it, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You know, to see what he thought about it. But I figured, you know, the globalists and all the things that everybody's been talking about is starting to come down. And I'm really concerned about this.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll check into that. You know, my dad worked at Ford Motor Company for a long, long time as well. And we'll find out. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Larry from Covington, Ohio.
Hey, Larry. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Just fine. And yourself?
Good. Thanks.
Okay. George, earlier this year, you had a show on with it pertained to a small town in Covington, or Ohio, that Cloverdale, Ohio. And it was based on ghosts and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm calling is the majority of my life, I wouldn't say that, you know, I've had a strong contact with spirits or anything like that, but I've had some pretty strange things happen to me. And I was just wondering, there were ghost hunters that were featured on that show, and I can't remember their names, and I wrote down the number how to get in contact with them when that show came on, and I've lost it, and I would really like to get in touch with these people because, like I said, I've had some really strange stuff happen in my life. And
I think there were two people, if I remember.
Exactly. It was a man and a woman.
Yes. We'll get you the information. If you would send Tom Danheiser your email, we'll track it down for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you being on the program. Tom's our producer at night during the show, and we'll get it to you, because I can't recall their names, but I remember they were just the two people. First-time caller line, you're up. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is David in Redlands, California.
Hey, David, take it away.
How's it going? Great show. Just want to talk a little bit about a deceased grandmother who passed away about 4.5 years ago.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a really cool situation. She had the whole family with her, passed away at the house, and she had a group of people around her, some close family friends and holding her hand and whatnot. And what had happened is I'm a pretty accomplished pianist, and she had a favorite song, you know, that I would play, and, you know, family sort of requested that I, you know, begin to play it. And,
yeah.
You know, she's getting ready to pass, and she's got cold hands and, you know, whatnot. And they said that her hands really just started to warm up when I started to do that, started to play that song. And close friend Wayne had said that color red had popped into his mind for he didn't know what reason, but I told him immediately, I said, that's the color of the piano bench. You know, I just thought that was kind of weird, you know. And and if I could bring just one more quick thing up.
Please,
I don't know if you've heard of something called the alien hand phenomena or something like that.
What's that?
Where you think maybe you're waking up from a dream and you look up maybe towards your bedroom ceiling and you see a hand, a weird sort of formed, misshapen hand, maybe of an alien or something like that. And that was a very weird occurrence. Something happened to me. I was in elementary school, and I had just discovered Isaac Asimov in the school library and, you know, had been turned on by aliens and such, and, you know, just had that happen one night. I didn't know if you had heard or known anything more about it.
No, I got to tell you, I've never heard of anything like that before. I mean, people have had strange occurrences in their dream state or when they're in bed, but not an alien hand. That's weird. Thanks for the call. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, this is Jack calling from Tamarack in South Florida.
Hey, Jack.
Hi. I want to tell you something really important. A few nights ago, you had a guest on who was talking about spirit possession. And I think I have to tell you something very important to add to that. We were sent to Virginia Beach by a great miracle, and my mother did the portrait of Gladys Davis Turner, who took down everything Edgar Casey said for over 30 years.
Uh-huh, okay.
And during that week that we spent with Gladys, she introduced us to many fine people, many spiritual people. One of them was Dr. George Ritchie. He's the man who started all the research on near-death experience.
Right.
He was dead for 9 minutes. Three different army doctors pronounced him dead, and he came back to life with no brain damage, went on to become a medical doctor and a psychiatrist. And during his experience, he was with Jesus. He had a fantastic spiritual experience. And he described to my mother and myself how when he was dead and with Jesus, they went to a red light district in a small southern town, and they saw a man stumbling down the street who was very, very drunk. And he said, around this man were evil spirits. And when this alcoholic passed out and fell down into the street, into the gutter, his aura opened at the top, and the evil spirits got into him through the top of his head. When his aura opened up, he no longer had protection. And so that's why I'm calling. That's one of the two big reasons, because when people get addicted to alcohol or drugs, if they lose consciousness under the influence of the alcohol or the drugs, they are vulnerable to spirit possession. It's very, very dangerous. And I don't think this is known about in general at all.
Well, no, it's probably not. You know, we've talked about spirit possession before, but the exact cause and how it occurs, nobody really knows. But you believe then it's directly tied to this? In all cases or just once in a while?
Not in all cases. It's because when they lose consciousness, the aura opens at the top. This is what Dr. Ritchie saw and described to us. And it makes them very vulnerable. They can become possessed then.
Okay, because, well, thanks.
They're giving up their free will. They become a slave. And it makes them very dangerous. It makes it very dangerous when they lose consciousness.
Do they ever get their personality back, or does this demon take over entirely?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer. I know Dr. Ritchie specializes in helping these people now as a psychiatrist who are possessed, because he says, told us the other psychiatrists don't believe in this, but he knows it. He saw it. I want to add one more very important thing about our spiritual potential as human beings.
Sure.
We had an Edgar Casey Search for God group for a couple of years at that time, and a relative came to visit, and she's always been very cruel to my mother, very mean. And after the relative came and was very, very hurtful to my mother decided to put the Edgar Casey teachings into practice, and she sat down after the relative left and prayed very, very hard and strove with all her might to forgive the relative. And she prayed so hard she cried. And after about 20 minutes of praying really hard like that, she felt a light touch all around the top of her head, and it was as if the top of her head was gently pulled off, and a shaft of yellow gold light came down into the top of her head, and her spirit went up into the shaft of yellow gold light, and the next thing she knew, my mother found herself in space. And she looked around in awe at all the stars spread out all around her, and she saw an infinite field of light off to one side, which she thought was God. And the next thing that happened was she began to expand and expand and expand, and she expanded infinitely, becoming one with all creation. And she experienced infinite bliss. And this lasted about 20 minutes, and then she began to contract, and then she came down to her normal size again and came back down into her body. And this shows you our spiritual potential is fantastic.
Oh, it is absolutely huge. Hey, thank you for that story. Yeah, very enlightening. East of the Rockies, we've got a little time for you. Hi there.
Hi, little time, George.
Yes, how are you?
Pretty good. Brian good. In Miami. Now, I'm wondering, you guys have talked a lot about celestial alignment tonight and everything else. And with Richard Sion and everybody else who's been on, I was wondering, maybe you could find someone who could specialize about celestial alignment in the way that with 2012 coming up and the 12 houses of Israel coming together, and Pluto is a dwarf what?
You there? He's gone. Pluto was no longer a planet, if that was what you were going to be asking. And maybe we have time for first-time caller. Can you do this in a minute? Hi there.
Hi, this is Jeff calling from Reno.
Hey, Jeff, go real fast if you would. We're almost out of time.
As quick as I can. Sure. I was listening to your guest tonight talk about beings whispering in your ear and getting you so frustrated that you curse and say words. Well, say words you may not say. Well, I had a what I believe was an entity doing the same kind of thing to me. Every time I come to a traffic light, I always seem to be stopped in the front. And my family didn't believe me till they rode with me, and they found the same thing. I put keys down one place in my house, and they'd end up somewhere else that I thought was going crazy. Yes.
No, I was going to say, I've done that myself. It's like they fall into a portal, and they pop up someplace else. My gosh, we're out of time. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.